Welcome to today's podcast. I am Fiona Salter from SAC Consulting, and today I'm talking with Audrey Litterick from Earthkey Technical about farmers using digestates on farm. Hi Audrey, thank you for joining us today.
Morning.
Morning. Today we're just going to be talking about farmers using digestate on their farm, but first and foremost, could you explain what digestate is and where it comes from?
What is digestate? Well, it's the product of an anaerobic digestion process, for a start. An anaerobic digestion process is the breakdown through natural means, microbial breakdown, mostly done by bacteria, the microbial breakdown of, I suppose you could say, biological, sort of organic materials. So normally we would be talking about either wastes, things like food waste particularly digest very well in an anaerobic digester, or farm energy crops, purpose-grown crops like, for example, energy beet, hybrid rye, and sometimes manures and slurries. So it's the anaerobic breakdown product of these organic materials. And by that I mean it's done in the absence of oxygen. So it's different to composting, which needs oxygen in order to for the process to complete properly. But one of the big benefits of anaerobic digestion is that you get methane produced as a result of this type of breakdown as well. So there's this double benefit, really, I suppose, in a way. You can be making wastes safer, sanitising them to an extent anyway, but you can also gain the gas out of it at the end.
And are there different types of digestate, or is it all the same?
Yes, absolutely. We would normally divide them into three basic types. There's whole digestate, separated fibre, and separated liquid. And many, many farm plants particularly do just make a whole digestate. So everything goes into the tank and it all comes out partly or wholly digested, which usually means that the dry matter content of the digestate that comes out is a bit lower than that which goes in, because a lot of the organic material has been broken down. So whole digestate is just the simple finished product from the digestion process. But some farmers and some merchant AD plants decide that for various reasons it's better to separate the whole digestate into liquid and fibre fractions. There's quite a few advantages associated with doing that. It usually tends to mean that the separated liquid is a bit easier to pump and spread. There's fewer lumps in it, fewer particles in it. And the fibre digestate is a kind of, I suppose it's a solid fertiliser, maybe something like about 18 to 40% dry matter. So it's stackable. And the separated liquid is rather lower dry matter than the whole digestate. So whole digestates would typically have somewhere between about maybe 3 and 10% dry matter, whereas the separated fibre would have maybe between, as I say, it's stackable, like a dung, for example, and it would have maybe between about 18 and 40% dry matter, whereas the separated liquid tends to have about 1 to 3% dry matter, say. And when you do separate digestates, it tends to be that much of the P or the phosphate ends up in the solid fraction and some of the K or potash, whereas most of the nitrogen typically ends up in the separated liquid. Whereas in the whole digestate, you get all the nutrients present, basically.
And is the digestate a new product, or has it been around for a while?
No, it's not a new product. I mean, there's been. It's certainly much, much more common in the UK than during the past sort of 10 years, particularly. It's been around for a while. There's been anaerobic digestion has been used in sewage sludge treatment for a long time, but it's basically how it's expanded in this country, or the number of plants has risen quite a bit in this country because of government subsidy for renewable energy generation. So it's become a lot more common. But it's been around for several decades before this, but not really on farms in a big way, I guess, until apart from the last sort of 10, 20 years. There was also a few plants in the southwest of Scotland that were built particularly for the purposes of reducing human pathogen or animal pathogen content in animal manures.
And I know you touched on the feedstocks just a minute ago, but what are the most common feedstocks in the anaerobic digestion plant process to create this digestate?
Well, that really, I suppose in extremely broad terms, there would be two groups. There would either be the what we call the merchant AD plants, or the large AD plants, which are taking wastes, food wastes, and they take food wastes from schools, hospitals, domestic, and so on, and they take maybe from catering premises, and potentially also from the likes of food processing factories and maybe even abattoirs. So they're treating organic wastes, food wastes, and food processing wastes. But the greatest number of plants are actually on farm, and they tend not to take wastes. Some do, but many are taking just really farm-produced energy crops, which would be things like, for example, a little bit of animal manures, but mainly purpose-grown crops such as hybrid rye, grass, I should say, and energy beet. That's probably the larger proportion of plants. But some of them also take wastes from, say, food and drinks factories, particularly some of the byproducts of the distillery industry.
And if a land manager is thinking about being interested in using digestate, what would be the benefits to their business?
So this is you mean a farmer that's looking to take digestate?
Yeah, take digestate
rather than have a plant on his own farm, because that's a very different thing. Basically, it's all about money, really. Anaerobic digestate can be a great fertiliser. The farmers who are taking digestate regularly often will come out and say that their crops really, really respond to it. So it's a great fertiliser, but I would put, there is a caveat. I would say you need to understand digestate in order to use it to best effect. So in order to get the best out of it, you need to be using it at the right time with the right sort of equipment. And you need to be getting it at a price which makes financial sense. So at the moment, the value of digestate is going up because fertiliser prices are going through the roof. And so I'm certainly helping digestate producers calculate the value of their products, which are changing on a weekly basis in some cases because the value of fertilisers is going up. So a well-priced digestate can really help the farmer save money, and also can be a great fertiliser for crops. You've just got to make sure that you're not overpaying for it. Could end up getting a bargain, and some farmers certainly are, quite a big bargain, whereas others I still feel maybe paying a little bit much. So it's a case of making sure that you know what you're getting, and also making sure that it's available at the right price, and then it can be a great fertiliser.
And if they are thinking about it, what are the main key attributes that they need to think about before taking digestate onto their land?
Well, first of all, you need an up-to-date analysis, what's actually in it. And I would suggest to any farmer that it's very important to be aware how much nitrogen's in it and how much of that nitrogen is readily available nitrogen. So you need a good analysis. You need to know total nitrogen and also the percentage of that nitrogen that's readily available. That means the percentage that's ammonium nitrogen, really. There's some nitrate nitrogen in it too, but it's digestate is mainly ammonium nitrogen, and that's very important to know. It's also useful to know how much P and K is in it, obviously. And the other thing is to think, when are you going to take it and how are you going to apply it? Are you set up for it? It's not a good idea to be bunging it on with a splash plate slurry spreader. Absolutely not. You need precision equipment in order to make the best out of digestate. And you also need sufficient storage on your farm, or have it delivered to you at a time to enable you to be able to put it on at a time when the crops are going to be able to use that nitrogen. And even if you're not in an NVZ, I would still very, very strongly recommend that you apply your digestate very roughly according to the, outside the closed periods. In other words, when you have a crop that has crop demand.
And when you're researching this, PAS 110 keeps cropping up. Why is it important with regard to digestate?
Well, PASS 110 is essential, really, for waste digestates. So a digestate is not is regarded as a waste rather than a product, unless it has PASS 110 accreditation, and it also must achieve some extra standards, according to the CEPA position statement, some extra standards on physical contaminants. And it's basically a guarantee that the digestate, which is coming from a waste, is a product, and is, you can apply it to land, to farmland, outside the waste regulatory system. But it's only required for anaerobic digestion plants which are treating wastes. It's also, by the way, essential if you're wanting to apply digestate. It must have, from a waste process, it must have PASS 110 and it must be compliant with the CEPA position statement if you're a licensee with Quality Meat Scotland or Scottish Quality Crops. But if it's not from a waste, in other words, many of the farm-based AD plants are not treating wastes, they're just treating farm-produced energy crops, they do not need PASS 110 as such. And I think Scottish Quality Crops have got their own system for making sure that digestates are safe and used in an appropriate way. But so you only need PASS 110 accredited digestate if it's being produced from wastes of some description.
You mentioned that you need to get it analysed. Would you need to get it analysed every time you receive the digestate from the plant, or would it be every once every 3 years?
No, once every 3 years is definitely not enough. Personally, the value of the nitrogen in that digestate is so great, and never more so than now. Personally, I would be looking at least to determine the amount of ammonium nitrogen in it pretty much every single delivery that I had. And that can be very cheap. You can do that on site using Quantifix test kits, for example. But if it's from a PASS 110 accredited plant, then they should be testing on a regular basis, and you can ask the plant for their most recent set of test results. And that should be enough for P and K and magnesium, for example. But as far as physical contaminant content, which should be very, very low nowadays, but it's the nitrogen, which is the main reason that most farmers actually put digestate on, that can actually be quite variable over the year and possibly even variable from month to month. So I would ask for the most recent set of test data, and I would probably be testing it in, if you were bringing the digestate into your own lagoon, for example, or in tankers, I would try and get a composite sample of maybe a little sample per tanker for 3 or 4 tanker loads, combine that and then send it off for total nitrogen and readily available nitrogen content to the lab.
So I know we were talking about how digestate can be a fertiliser, but do you think there's opportunities for digestate to replace bag fertilisers now or in the future?
First, I certainly know some farmers who are, particularly the farmers that have got their own AD plant and they're growing energy crops for feeding into an AD plant, they are now effectively operating pretty much a closed system. So the crops are being grown, fed into the plant, and then the digestate's going back onto that same land, and they are buying next to no bagged fertiliser at all. But if you're wanting digestate as a farmer and you don't have your own AD plant, it's highly unlikely that you're going to be able to get enough digestate to entirely replace bagged fertiliser, because the demand from farmers has gone up and up, and there tends to be greater demand for digestate than there are digestate to go round. The answer to that question really lies in effective nutrient management planning. So basically what you've got to keep doing is making sure that your soils are on target for P and K and magnesium. And if digestate is not supplying enough of those nutrients, which, and it's highly likely that it isn't, then you are going to have to buy in bagged P and K. So digestate, depending on where it comes from, is quite often a very good nitrogen fertilizer, but doesn't supply quite enough of the other nutrients that you need. So it's all about not neglecting your good nutrient management practices, making sure that you test your soils regularly, maintain soils on target for PK and magnesium, making sure they're getting enough sulfur as well, make sure that they're getting enough nitrogen, but not too much. I would say if a farmer is able to regularly put digestate on a field, then he should certainly be able to significantly reduce his bagged fertiliser requirement. But unless you've got your own plant, AD plant, you'll probably not. You'll probably still be buying a bit of bagged fertiliser.
And you mentioned before regulations that are impacted into this sector. Are there any that you want to highlight here? We will put in additional follow-up links at the end of the podcast that people can go to. But is there anything you want to bring to attention at the moment?
I think that the things that people are asking about still with digestate, there's still a lot of confusion. I think the farmers understand this as soon as I begin to talk about it, but there's still a lot of talk by people who perhaps don't know so much about the actual digestate itself, talking about how good digestates can be for building soil health and building soil organic matter content and sequestering carbon. None of that is really correct. Fibre digestates are good soil organic matter builders. But if you think about it, whole digestate contains very little, really, other than dissolved nutrients and water. There's very little organic matter in it. It's not a soil organic matter builder. It's not a soil conditioner, whole digestate, or separated liquid. So if you're looking to build soil health, certainly digestate is a part of that. But if you're looking to build soil health and build soil organic matter, then other practices are much more important. For example, using dungs and perhaps compost, if you can get them, fibre digestates, returning straw to the ground after harvesting cereal crops, using green manures and companion cropping, that kind of thing. These are soil organic matter building practices. But I still think there's a bit of a lack of understanding about what digestates can actually do, both on the plus side and the more difficult side. Which relates to management of liquid digestates. I'm still seeing digestate going on at inappropriate times of year and in a much smaller way than used to happen. But we need to make sure that people understand that that's basically throwing money down the drain. And
the spiralling costs of bagged fertiliser are effectively making the high cost of infrastructure and machinery to use and make the best of digestate a justifiable investment. So it is worth doing the sums now and looking at how much it costs to apply bagged fertiliser, all the costs, and the true cost of applying digestate. And it is making sense for many farmers to be looking at using digestate now.
And there's the potential that the food waste AD plants are going to increase as councils are having to move their food waste into more of this system rather than landfill. So there's potential that there might be.
I hope that's the case. Others will be able to answer that probably better than I can as to whether that's actually going to happen. Because what we need to do in order to increase the amount of... We don't want dirty food waste. We want well-sourced, segregated food waste coming into our plants. And human beings in Scotland don't seem to be very well, in the UK in general, don't seem to be terribly good at putting the right things in their organic waste bin. And there's still a lot of food waste goes into the residual waste bin, which in future will be going to quite often energy from waste plants, for example. We don't want that in there. It doesn't increase the quality of the feedstock material that's going to energy of waste. So we want to, I think there's quite a lot of money needs to be spent to try and encourage people to perhaps educate people. I don't, that sounds a bit patronising, but it's not meant to. Try and encourage people to put their wastes in the correct bins for treatment. And we could get a great deal more food waste out of the Scottish householders than we do. And that could certainly be put to good use. We should not, I mean, with the price of fertilisers and also the fact that phosphate's a finite resource, we need to, there's lots of phosphate in food wastes. So we don't want to be dumping that in a hole in the ground or burning it. We need it for agriculture. And so, yeah, I hope that there will be quite a bit more food waste going into AD, and also that the quality of the digestates at the end will be as good as it can be.
There has been concern in the past about plastics in the digestate end product. Do you think this is still an issue, or have the management processes been put in place to reduce this to a point where it's managed in a controlled, sustainable way?
I think it largely has been sorted, yes. There's the occasional. You will get the odd very... You'll get very, very small amounts of plastic in some food waste digestates. But yes, it was a problem at the beginning of the food waste AD boom, I suppose. But SEPA have come down on it very, very hard, quite rightly. Our standards in Scotland are tighter than they are in England, much, much more strict than past 110. And I think that's to a very large extent been dealt with. Certainly the farmers that I know that take food waste digestate are extremely pleased with the quality of it. So it's been a multi-pronged approach, really. It's actually not that difficult to put in the technology to sieve out any bits of plastic that are in whole digestate towards the end of the process. It's much easier, for example, to do it in liquids, in digestate, than it is in composts. Composts in Scotland have got a lot cleaner too. There's probably a bit to go there still, but with digestates, no, I think it's to a very large extent that's been sorted. By the same token, if I was taking digestate, I would always be present when the first loads from a batch were arriving on my farm, first loads of a delivery were arriving on my farm. The farmer needs to be there to just have a look at what it looks like when it comes out of the spreader, whatever type of spreader you're using. There's got to be responsibility and checks on all sides.
And if a farmer is wanting to look into getting digestate, is there anywhere that, where would they start the process? Where should they go view their local AD plant, have initial conversations, or do you think speaking to other farmers that use it would be best, or somebody like yourself?
Not somebody like me, unless they decide to actually take a particular product, and then I certainly can help. The one thing that's true and is never going to change is digestate's heavy. It doesn't make sense to transport it for long distances. At the moment, I still believe that there are some digestates, particularly from food waste AD plant. Well, yes, it is from food waste AD plants, or the merchant plants, if you like. Some of them can be situated in cities, and therefore they're not really close to any farmers who want to take it. That can be transported for a fair old distance, but that's not the farmer that's paying for that. So normally, a farmer is going to be very well aware, the old bush telegraph or Chinese whispers or whatever, he's going to be aware of the plants that make sense for him to be looking at. In other words, plants that are local to him, they might be associated with a distillery or with a farm-based AD plant, or maybe even a food waste plant. He's going to be aware of the plants that might have digestate that he or she could take. So if you have no idea, then I think that's probably pretty unusual. In that case, you'd have to just start asking around. You can also go onto the Biofertilizer Certification Scheme website, or the BCS website. The Biofertilizer Certification Scheme is the scheme that accredits to past 110 for digestates. But that does not cover all the farm-based DD plants that are not, you know, that haven't signed up to that. There's also a government AD portal that you can go on to. It's hosted in England, but that's got some useful information as well. But word of mouth, your local SAC advisor, for example, is likely to know who where the plants are that's close to you. And then basically ask them, have they got any digestate? And that's when somebody like me can sometimes come in. There are a few plants around there still that don't really fully understand quite what they're, how farmers should get the best value out of digestate. Most do now, but if there's any technical queries, then it's probably best to ask your SAC advisor or ask somebody like me who's a specialist in getting the best out of digestates. And the questions that you need to be asking are, how much nutrients are in it? What's the dry matter content? And crucially, what is the proportion of readily available nitrogen in it? That's because that determines how easily that nitrogen is going to be lost. And the more easily that nitrogen is lost, the more careful you have to be about how you spread it and when you spread it.
No, that was really helpful, Audrey. Thank you very much. Do you have any other final words of wisdom for someone looking into digestate?
I would just say it's not for everybody, but and by that I really mean not everybody can be bothered with organising precision spreading, organising storage. But for people who get into it and start using it thoughtfully, it can transform their business completely. So it's probably not something to dabble in unless you're going to pay a contractor to do the job for you. And that's a very good way to start. So pay a contractor to come in and do some precision spreading and do a wee trial. So do it in a thoughtful manner where you're perhaps comparing one side of the field to the other or comparing one field with another in terms of having the same crop, and then look at putting on bagged fertiliser in one area and digestate with the balance of bagged fertiliser perhaps in the other, and find out whether it works for you and whether you like the results. And if you do, it's probably worth you know, thinking about whether you want to make the relevant investments. Some farmers have decided to really take the whole AD thing seriously. Either they've built their own plant, or they're part of a cooperative which is working around an AD plant, or they've just found themselves relatively close to some kind of AD plant, and they've put in some of their own storage, for example, and perhaps invested in a precision spreader or with others in a cooperative to buy a precision spreader. So for many farmers, it's quite a big thing. It's not just dabbling in it, but it's taking significant quantities of the digestate and investing in storage in order to make the best of it. And certainly if you're taking a lot of digestate for a plant, storage is almost certainly going to be essential. I mean, to give you an example, by law, the merchant AD plants should have 6 months storage. And if a plant's located in an arable area, 6 months storage really should be thought of as being the kind of minimum. So, but there's, if you invest in the right storage, it should be long lasting and will prove beneficial for a long, long time. So
it is the future, or can be, or a combination. Perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Audrey. This will be followed up by a guidance document where you can find further information on using digestate on farm, looking into the nutrient breakdown, further resources, and the rules and regulations which you would need to follow. Thank you very much.